Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we welcome one of the godfathers of the apparel industry and tee it up industry insider, John Ashworth. So stay tuned to get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad to be along this hour. We wanted to check in with one of the all-time industry greats, a guy whose name was on the door, and then he left the door, and now he's back in the door. This guy is what I would deem one of the godfathers of the industry. This young man who's been on the show before and is a great contributor, an industry insider. We love to have these guys on. It started a booming business, and then the industry portion just has taken off. And, well, first, let's welcome the great John Ashworth to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. Ash, always good to talk to you, my man.
Hey, Keith. Good to catch up, buddy. How are you?
Not doing too bad. Thanks for asking. I know you're doing pretty well. Cool. And we're going to tell the John Ashworth story full circle for this hour because it was great seeing you in Orlando at the PGA show. But, you know, he's not hanging out at Link Soul or one of these other companies. No, he's hanging out at Ashworth. That sounds familiar. So apparently the crazy man that started the part of the phenomenon known as the apparel portion of the industry is back at the namesake Ashworth. So full circle for you. What are you thinking? And haven't you had enough of this industry? I mean, you could have retired. You sold the company. You know, you started, you know, Fidra's no longer around. And Link Soul, I guess, is semi around. I'm not sure where they are, but, you know, you are, as I mentioned, one of the godfathers of this portion of the industry.
Yeah, can't get rid of me, Keith. Can't get rid of me that easy, buddy.
Yeah, what's he going to do? He's going to surf, play golf. You know, that they know. Yeah, he does that anyway. So what the heck, you know?
Yeah. No, it was a unique opportunity. You know, the brand went away in America for, God, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And when Adidas sold TaylorMade, the company that bought it didn't want to be in the clothing business. So they sold it to the Asian licensee company out of Hong Kong. So they sold it to them. So they own the actual brand, and they didn't really want to have much. They didn't have anybody over in America. And so they were happy with just owning it, but they run it in Asia. And then lo and behold, a friend of mine, Eddie Fidel, went over, knew them, got the license for America. And then asked me if I would come back and help him kind of reorganize it and, you know, bring it up to speed. And this was a couple years ago. And I couldn't at the time. I said, no, I'm too tied up. I was doing pretty heavily renovating Goat Hill. And I was with Link Soul, working at Link Soul. And that changed about a year ago. And so when it did, he heard about it. He called me up again. He goes, hey, do you think you could do it now? And I said, you know what? Why not? Yeah, let's see what we can do. So anyway, it's quite the interesting path, but it is definitely full circle. And, you know, because it's my name. If it wasn't my name and, you know, that my little baby from when I was, you know, God, I started that when I was 27 years old. You know, I probably wouldn't be too interested, but since it had all those ingredients and you know, it's family name and all that stuff, I thought, what the heck? Might as well. Stuff like this doesn't come around that often. I might as well jump in and see if I can help them out, you know?
Yeah, when your name is on the door or on the wall, so to speak, you know, it means a lot more. And it's interesting because obviously we do a little research for the show, but, you know, when you go to Ashworth Golf, it says the Ashworth story, unapologetically golf, the history of the OG golf brand. And that's kind of it in a nutshell. I don't know if it was you or your creative people, but that's exactly right. I mean, what Ashworth did to the apparel industry was second to none. I mean, you had players, you had the Alligator playing, and you had some of the European companies that were in the realm. But Ashworth became a true household name. So,
yeah, and it was a true golf brand. I mean, it was built to be in the golf business. It wasn't like an outside, like, you know, a lot of brands are from a different industry and they come in and they go, oh, let's do golf. You know, no, we definitely, first and foremost, were, you know, built for people that love golf, really, and try to do some style that was conducive to what's needed when you're in and around a golf scene, which has changed a bunch over the years, and probably thankfully so. It's kind of not as buttoned up as it used to be. It is in a lot of cases, and you know, we respect that and we make stuff for that, but you know, it's golf is, you know, red hot right now anyway too, and it should be, because it is, you know, it's such a great game and it's community, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It is community based, and you know, it's, you know, from the Ashworth standpoint, I mean, you got an ambassador that you have for a long time named Freddie Couples.
Yep.
And when Boom Boom was in his prime, in his heyday, I mean, there was nobody better on the planet. I'm not talking about winning trophies and winning tournaments. I'm just talking about consistency and name value and marquee and personality.
Well, let's put it this way. There's nobody cooler than Fred Couples that played golf. You know what I mean? He's just a cool cat, you know? I mean, he just is inherently just, you know, nonchalant, smooth, all the way through. So, yeah, very lucky to team up with Fred for all those years.
Yeah, it's interesting. And as a matter of fact, I ran across a piece of Ashworth apparel just the other day because I needed a kind of a rain jacket, and I had forgotten when I was up to see my buddy Rick Smith, the renowned instructor, when he was at Treetops in Michigan. We did a show from up there. It's like, man, it's a little cool out here. Let me get you something, right? So it's like, I pulled it out of the closet because I took a little road trip recently, and I needed it. And like Ashworth, I'm like, wait till I talk to the Big John, because you know, the brand that, and that thing's got to be at least 20 years old. So you know. That's where we're at. And not to you know, age anybody or anything like that, but certain brands just stand the test. You know the quality, it's still there. And you guys Ashworth are still making, you know, you're making outerwear, you're making polos, you're making the regular stuff, obviously. But this industry is gotten crazy, and we see this with the clubs, and we see with the apparel. And I'm always intrigued. I did go down to Frisco a couple years ago for the first fall show. It was July, I think, in Frisco outside of Dallas, which was 109 degrees. We were inside, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, from that standpoint,
yeah,
just
I
to see.
I saw you down there.
Oh, that's right. I did see you down there. Yeah, see, I knew it.
I
suffer from CRS, so I have selective, you know, memory from that standpoint. But right, I forgot about that because that was a decent show. But it's historically been, the fall show has historically been an apparel show. How many golf shirts can there be, Ash? How many?
Oh, I know. Cowbell, baby. I don't know, man. It's it kind of is nauseating, to be honest with you. I mean, it's, you know, anybody that's got an Instagram handle, you know, wants to have a golf clothing line.
It's true.
You know,
it's that's what it's gotten to.
Pretty much. You know, and that's great. I mean, you know, good for them, but, you know, it sounds all romantic and everything, but it's a very hard business, man. It's
a lot of work.
It ain't easy.
And no, I know, it's so funny with the OG thing, because I'm one of the OG influencers. I'm a national radio host. Now, that, you know, in the world of Smedia these days, it doesn't carry as much weight. I don't care either way. I don't do this show for that reason. But it is interesting you say that, because every once in a while I'll see a post of somebody saying, oh, I'm starting a clothing line. I'm like, I thought you were one of those influencers. You got this clothing line going. You're obviously just wearing the stuff. You're not making the stuff, because if you knew how much time goes into that stuff, you wouldn't even go anywhere in that room. It's the same way with the YouTubers, and like, I had no idea how much work goes into it. No kidding. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, I just shot myself. And, you know, I took some video and then posted it. How many times did you edit it? Well, how many times did you go all the way through without having to stop and start over? You know, come on.
It's
a bunch of
Because
we can laugh because we've been around long enough and we've seen about everything you can see. It is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But where is Ashworth headed? Because you come back in, obviously, you talked about how special, because that was your first child, and your name is, you know, Ashworth. We scratched on the realm of the designs and things like that. So Ashworth has been one of those steady Eddie kind of brands.
Yeah.
But how do you differentiate yourself?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, it's a little bit with style and fabric and all that stuff. And then, of course, you know, sort of what you stand for and your visual vocabulary. And just, it's kind of, you know, you kind of got to hit on all cylinders, really, and be true to who you are. And that's, I think that's what we're trying to do, is to get back to that. And then just, you know, just make, you know, run a good, tight business. Good customer experience is really, really important. So, you know, you stand behind what you do and look after people. It's what we do. It's the only thing I know how to do. So if I was asked to do something else, I would have a hard time, you know, figuring that out.
Yeah, but you mentioned a great term, customer experience. That has gone by the wayside. And not just in our industry, but just in general in industries.
Yeah. You know, we're here to serve our customers the best we can. I mean, we build a culture. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm lucky. I'm a really, really lucky guy. Like, I'm out at Goat Hill Park right now because I love being out. I love being around a golf course. You know, I'm out here, you know, working on our pollinator garden. We have a bunch of bees. You know, we have like 8 active beehives, and the springtime, it's weed season. So I'm out here weeding right now as I'm talking to you.
Do you have the netting? Do you have a mask and everything? It's John Ashworth beekeeper now.
Well, we do have those, and I have put them on. I mean, I don't do it a lot. I have a guy that's a really, Parker Anderson, who set the whole thing up. He's actually a golf course shaper / architect guy, you know, really cool guy. So we had the Michigan, I think it was Michigan State Horticulture Company. They planned this whole garden, and it was their college thesis deal. Right. So they came out, and I don't know, it's probably an acre, and we planted it with all kinds of really cool, you know, flowers and plants that bees love and stuff like that. So, you know, it's kind of, that's where golf is. Just, golf is such a holistic game, you know? I mean, it's a very healing game at the root of it, you know?
Yes.
And so, I mean, I tell the people here that work at Goat Hill Park, hey man, we're kind of in the mental health, you know, profession. You know, people are coming out here to get away from the craziness of the world and get away and spend time outside, spend time with their buddies and all that stuff. So we're just trying to help facilitate that and, you know, not get in their way.
Yeah, I think you bring up valuable points there, and I'm not surprised, but that is, I like the holistic approach. That is kind of John Ashworth in a word, because that's kind of what he brings to the game of golf, and I'm so happy that he can spend the hour with us, because Ash is the man, and he is with us. Heading to our first break, and we'll be back.
All right, this is Trey Cool from Green Day, and we're teeing it up with Keith Jones like we always do. It's a habit we can't stop.
And we're back with the great John Ashworth. And, yes, Ashworth is back as well as a clothing company. It's been around. When you said in the last segment that it went away for a few years, what happened? What happened and what does that mean?
Well, it just nobody was looking after it in America because the company that actually bought the brand from the previous owners, which was Adidas Golf, who, you know, I'm sorry to say, pretty much ran it right into the ground, you know, in America. But the company in Hong Kong who bought it, I don't know, maybe whenever that was, whenever Adidas sold, maybe 2019?
Yeah, correct. 2019 is correct.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, so my friend didn't pick up, you know, Eddie Fidel, who's been in the clothing business a long time and did have a stint at Ashworth and loved the brand, and he thought, oh, my God, you know, I want to try to bring this back in America. So he went over and got a long-term licensing agreement with the company that owns it. So it literally went away. For whatever that was, like maybe 3 years. So
you're almost
in America.
Yeah, I got you. But you're you're almost bringing it back from the abyss, so to speak. Then, total retooling, a total rebranding, a relaunch, if you will.
Yeah, and the tricky thing for me now is because he did it for 2 years by himself and a couple other people. And it was, I wish I would have been there at the very start. I'm kind of like retrenching. Not that he did a bad job, but a lot of stuff wouldn't have been, you know, stuff I would have done. But,
well, he's not John Ashworth. Okay. Let's just say it that way.
Well,
I know you're a modest man, but the point is, I mean, this is something that you've known from its seed and you've grown it. I know you sometimes consider yourself an agronomist. So, you know, this is exactly right parallel to that.
Yeah. So anyway, it's like I said before, it's a very difficult business. No illusions here. It's going to be an uphill. I tell people it's uphill into the wind, but you know, hopefully we got that shot, right?
Yeah,
get
absolutely.
Back in your stance. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you know the name Mike Morgan or not, but Mike Morgan worked for McGregor for a few years, and then he worked about three decades with a company named Titleist. And he was kind of in retirement, and he had a friend like Eddie that called him up and said, hey, I want to bring back Northwestern, as in Northwestern Golf Clubs. So they started doing that. And so the name is known by a lot of people, like Ashworth is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've got that leg up. So that's important because you're not truly starting from zero.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
So where do you see Ashworth going? What lane are you taking, or what superhighway are you taking? All the lanes?
That's a good question, Keith. You know, it's funny to see, you know, yeah, a ton of people remember it, know it, never thought it left. Those people are all like, I'll be generous here, like ages 45 to dead, you know, 45 to 75 or whatever.
Yeah, 45 to dead is dead is an age. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Maybe 40. We'll be generous. Maybe 40, but maybe even a little younger. But somebody, a kid that's 20, no clue. You know,
right? Freddie's in his 60s, so that makes sense.
Yeah,
he's been a model, an Ashworth model for a long time. So,
yeah, 65. So basically the. You know, I look at it as, you know, golf's pretty timeless, you know, and Ashworth was kind of a very timeless, even though it was modern. Like, we did a lot of kind of, I don't know, I would say maybe sometimes avant-garde for the golf community, but But I always feel like it's timeless. So, you know, golf is such a rich, deep, history thing. And it's, you know, it's, I'm kind of a West Coast guy, so there'll probably be more of a West Coast spin on it, you know, if you will. Whatever that means.
But, we'll talk about that in our next segment after this bottom of the hour break. As Ash is spending the hour with us, and we appreciate that. As John Ashworth, the OG. Yes, indeed. I call him the godfather, but hey, whatever works, works. We'll be back after this break.
Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter. The Lama. Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga Gunga Galunga.
And we're back to start the second half hour of the show, spending it with John Ashworth. Yes, industry insider for us, but a guy who was one of the originators of the shirt you're wearing. And I mentioned earlier in the show about this outerwear piece that I got from Rick Smith. And nobody, I used it, had to, it rained a little bit. But nobody said, why are you wearing that old thing? Because it doesn't look dated at all. And it's probably more than 20 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, and that goes back to the whole timeless approach. I mean, like I said, golf is a real timeless game. I mean, it's really cool to see, you know, COVID was such a, you know, kickstarter for a younger generation to find the game, you know, and that's great. But I hope we don't lose sort of the, I don't know. I think the virtues will come through it anyway for those people, and definitely the etiquette, like, you know, golf is the game, you know, such as sportsmanship, you know, honesty, integrity and all that stuff, you know, which is so important. And, you know, it's that stuff's more important than the dress code.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But that's why it's cool at Goat Hill Park. That's pretty unique because, you know, we're very entry level. You know, we try to have a great golf experience. The course is tricky, but it's fun and it's accessible. But we don't have a dress code. You know, we're dog friendly. We play music. You know, but that's not to say we don't expect people to adhere to, you know, respect and social norms that, you know, make it the game what it is, you know, and pace of play and all that stuff. So it's kind of fine line.
Yeah, I think those things are important, especially as you're learning the game. Because I play with a couple of newer players on a weekly basis. With just play a par three, I have to hit shots. Mm-hmm. That's how Tiger learned the game and everything else. But you know, yeah. the part of it's the pace of play, and they're not. You got to start somewhere. The trouble is you have a lot of new players with no guidance, right? Whether it's a public course, you know, a county course or a revenue course or like Goat Hill, the different municipalities that run them, they run them, but they don't teach. And it's just
not enough,
you know, after your fifth shot on a par three, you probably should pick up and move to the next hole, you know, and spacing and everything. And I'm, you know, watching them. I'm a kind of a student of the game. So I'm watching swings and I'm, you know, helping people if I have the opportunity. I don't propose to be a teacher, but know enough to be, you know, deadly. But it's always better because I think back to what Ely Callaway has said for a long time. It's that one golf shot. Now, I took him to task and I said, Mr. Callaway, that one, I need at least three or four, Mr. Callaway. I don't know what you're talking about. One, well, Keith, one golf shot. But if you get somebody honed in, as a matter of fact, there was a young lady from China that was in my foursome last week, about a week and a half ago, and she was all over the place with her shots, but her swing was really nice. So when she made good contact, mm-hmm. she made a couple of adjustments and she started to hit the ball. Then she started to really get into it. And I told her after the round, I was like, you need to go see a professional. Take some lessons. You have a nice swing. Don't mess it up. And when you're around people, you know, I think she was playing with her boyfriend. You're around people that have a worse swing than you, like the boyfriend, you don't want to be learning from the said people, right? So, You know, so it's those kind of things. But she wouldn't know. She's just out there. She's in the sunshine and hitting the golf ball all over. You know, she played every inch of that course. But that doesn't make it fun overall for the people either behind you or have you. You know, so.
Yeah.
So, I know you guys do things differently at Goat Hill Park. I know you do.
Yeah, it's a pretty, but it's a good vibe, you know. People really enjoy, you know, letting their hair down and spending time outside is what it's really all about. So.
Right. Well, you know, and they do. I think they do want to learn and such. But if there's nobody nobody around with true knowledge. To help, you know, I'm not saying instruct, but to help make adjustments and stuff.
We have some great, we have three clinics a week that are really geared towards beginners. I mean, it's basically donation based, and we have some really great instructors too, like world class guys. It's, you know, I'm surprised they do it, you know, really.
No, they do it for the love of the games. Like you, what are you doing with a golf course? What are you out there doing with the bees? Come on, Ashworth.
I know. It's true.
once it gets in your blood, you can't get it out, and it doesn't matter how rough a round can be. You try to pick the good points about it. So, but you're community guy, so you're doing it for the community as well. And it's been a long time since I've been to Oceanside, but I know it's still hanging in there. Since we're talking with John Ashworth, who is now back with Revered Brand since 1987, he started that thing. That's crazy. The original authentic golf apparel brand, distinction, extraordinary heritage that sets it apart from the rest. I'm reading, not from their website, I'm reading from some other things that have been written about Ashworth being a good golf brand. And it stands the test of time. But as I was asking you earlier, and I can tell you, your brain's working, but you have people working on it for designs and such. Are you going to do a little bit of both? You're going to do a little bit of t-shirt activity. You're going a little bit more traditional polo type stuff, and then you may think of some other things along the way too.
Yeah, it's a full collection. You know, it's got all the bells and whistles.
So, Ash, what do you think made Ashworth so popular for so long, starting from the beginning?
I feel like from the beginning, we sort of went against the grain. You know, I was really, again, I guess being from California, maybe, but I was really into more natural fabrics. And at the time, it was just a sea of polyester. And oddly enough, it's kind of like where it is right now, where things are coming back a little baggy. Everything was tight back then, and we went a little bit looser. And then, honestly, Fred Couples was... He was between a large and an extra large, and I always wanted him to wear a large, but he wore an extra large, so it looked extra baggy on him. So everybody wanted to dress like Freddie, right? So, you know, that's kind of where that whole thing started and got a little out of control in the early 90s. But, you know, a lot of, you know, look at some of the brands and bringing it back, but I don't think it needs to go back that crazy. But, you know, and then we did, you know, everybody did the staged color photography on a golf course, and we did black and white photos off the golf course in interesting spots, you know, like just to stand out and be different. So we were always trying to buck the norm a little bit. And then, of course, you know, Fred had such a major appeal. Then we had Ernie Els, John Cook. I mean, we had some really fashionable men guys that people loved. And at the same time, we you know, we're doing clothing. It was comfortable and different. And it was just kind of this, yeah, it was lightning in a bottle, really. And it kind of just went crazy for that 10-year period that I was there. I left probably not the smartest guy in the world, but I ended up leaving after like 11 years because I was a little bit burnt out and had an opportunity to move to Scotland and do something else. But it still had a lot of guests for the next 10 years too. It did really well. So, but anyway, I think it was because we were different, but, and we were good quality.
Yeah, and you know, you couldn't stay away from the game because at some point you started FIDRA.
Right.
I think I still have one of the two of those shirts. I must be a clothes hog too. I don't know. Just can get rid of stuff. Yeah. But FIDRA, and that went for a while, and then
that went for a while, and that was fun. I kind of came back and I tried to go back to Ashworth, but I wasn't super good with the guy that was running it at the time, and I don't think he really wanted me to come back, so I didn't do that, and I had an opportunity to go start FIDRA with Quiksilver.
Right, Quiksilver.
You know, yeah. The surfwear company as like an incubator brand, you know, for the golf market. And that was really fun. And we were doing pretty darn good. And they, you know, they were a huge company at the time. And they kind of made a mistake and bought Rosignol Ski Company. And it sort of went south on them. And then they had to make all these adjustments, and they ended up dropping all their incubator brands. You know, we were like 4 years old and doing pretty good. But they ended up selling it to a Japanese distributor. So FIDRA's still a brand in Japan, actually. You can find it over there.
All right, good. I think I'm in Japan. I'll have to look for that. I got to look for Ashworth. Yeah, a lot of stuff to look for next time. When I go to Japan next time for the first time. Speaking of surfboards, there is a logo on a shirt that is by the brand Johnny O. Now, it's great to see you in Orlando, but I met Johnny as well in Orlando.
Yeah.
And I got a chance to talk to him just a little bit. He doesn't even surf. He's like, oh, we thought this was a cool logo. And it is, but I'm like, it's like, but you got a surf thing and you're selling golf shirts. But I bring it full circle because that brand, Johnny O, is doing pretty good, at least to my knowledge.
Yeah, no, it seems to be doing really good. It was kind of weird. I know Johnny a little bit, and he's a really good guy. But, yeah, it's kind of odd. But, again, a little bit against the grain, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's kind of – I think that's kind of what he was inferring to when he said that. But that was – you know, but he's a California guy too. So, hey, why not surfing and all that kind of stuff? I'm like, yeah, but that sounds like John Ashworth to me. It doesn't sound like you. I'm saying it to myself. I didn't say that to him, but you know,
right.
it's a crazy industry. And then again, with the apparel stuff, you got a name brand because there are a lot of startups that seem to catch a little bit of fire, a little wave, if you will. And they do pretty good for a while, but the staying power is not there. What's it take? Not to give away all the in your mind ideas or knowledge, but what's it take for a company to get past that first growth stage and then keep that longevity?
Oh boy, I tell you, in today's world, it's more and more challenging, and I think you've got to again be so well rounded, knowing the garment business and how to navigate. Suppliers, and especially today with all the tariff stuff going on, it's freaking nuts, you know. But you have to, aside from that, you got to be able to navigate the quality of the garment and the financing of the business. And it's a very, very financial intense business. And then you have to navigate to do wholesale and direct. And you really kind of have to do both unless you just want to be a super duper mom and pop, low key, make tiny minimum somewhere and just sell direct, which is still incredibly hard to do, to build a brand that way. So yeah, no, there's so much that goes into it, and you know, and you got to do all those really good to get to that next level. So it's, I mean, people call me all the time. Hey, can I pick your brain? I'm thinking, yeah. And I, you know, my first line is, well, yeah. Well, you know how to make $2 million in the clothing business?
You can pick my brain, but send me a check.
No. How to make $2 million? $2 million. You start with $4 million because you're gonna lose $2 million right out of the gate.
Nice. And this is going to bring me to my next question in a second. But, oh, my God. when you, how crazy are you? Because, you know, I mean, you're a good buddy, but I have to watch out for all my good buddies that way. Yeah. Why get back into the industry? I know your name is on the door, right? And I know there's things, but you just can't give it up. You just got to keep playing that note.
Well, again, that's the biggest reason for me this last time, maybe not, is because of my name, for sure. And the people doing it, you know, I have a lot of respect for. And they're the main investor is a company called New Times Group. And they, hang on 1 second, Keith. We're just showing.
He's got to tend to his bees for a second. A couple bees got out of line there. You had to put them back in line.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, they're a clothing sourcing and manufacturing company, like a $2 billion company with offices all over the world. So for a design guy, that's sort of a dream scenario, really. I mean that played a big part in it, and I thought, you know, how could I not do that?
Yeah,
they're nice people, and I've worked with them before, and so
okay, yeah, I had to check on you for a moment. That's all. I mean, because you keep going back to the well. I know there's water in there, and I know Ashworth, you're going to take it to the heights again, you know, and it's crazy that you're always coming up on your 40th anniversary in a couple of years. So by 2027, this brand needs to be top of the planet again.
I hope so. I really hope so. We'll give it a shot. You know, that's all we can do, right? I mean,
yeah. Well, you're going to give it more. Come on, Ash. You're going to give it more than a shot because of the name alone, right? So it's exciting for you. You're a low key guy. But I know this is super exciting opportunity for you.
It is. It is. I'm not going to lie.
Because you can't. He says that.
I'm not a good liar.
Yeah, he's not a good liar. And he can't do it anyway. He just can't do it. He's an honest John Ashworth. And he's with us now on TW Keith Jones. We're heading to our final break. We'll be back to wrap up the show and talk about some tariffs and more with Ash after this break.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley reminding you, you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. I haven't been this excited since I discovered I couldn't lick my elbow.
Back for our final segment of the show. It is always good to catch up with the good people in the golf industry, and Ash, who has become a buddy, is one of those. A guy who just knows so much, really, godfather of the clothing, and a guy, one of the OGs for sure. I didn't come up with that. That's written, but that is absolutely, you know, otherwise, who calls you up and says, hey, can you help me out? And give me some advice. So he does it anyway. You do it anyway, whether it's a competitor or not, apparently. I don't know. It's the kind of guy you are. But You need to keep.
We're all in this together, Keith.
Yeah, I know. That's a good point. That is a well taken point. So speaking of in it together, the tariffs, how have they affected the apparel side of the industry?
I tell you what, I don't. It's hard to even know yet. You know, I mean, Andy Bell, who's the CEO of Ashworth, great guy out of, you know, our warehouse is in Atlanta, his office is in Atlanta, but he says we're going to be fine in terms of, like, we're not going to have to raise our prices at all, which is pretty awesome. And that might have something to do, like I was saying, with New Times, our main investor, which is a clothing manufacturing company. If we can kind of move on a dime in terms of factories. But again, it's so new. I'm not even sure, honestly.
Okay. What have you been hearing? So good. So that's good news that it won't be affecting a company like Ashworth. But what are you seeing or what are you hearing? Or is it just kind of the trickle-down thing? Because I know in talking with Mike from Northwestern, they're dealing with, you know, moving parts.
Yeah. I mean, you got to just, you know, you got to be really conscious of where you're going and making stuff, you know, and, you know, probably not a good idea to make stuff in China, you know, which we don't anyway. So, but, you know, I mean, if you get hit with a 10% tariff, you know, you could probably work it out with the factory and everybody takes a little hit and, you know, you might move it on to the customer, but we're not going to apparently. So, you know, just I think everybody's going to be a little bit different, honestly.
Well, I like what you said right there. We're not going to move it on. Like, we're not going to move it on to the customer, to the consumer.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hear that very often. All I hear is we're taking a hit, so we're going to pass it on. Like, again, this goes back to the customer experience or the customer relations part of it.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You know, you don't build good clientele by saying, I know you paid this for that last week. This week, now you're going to, you know, pay this much more for the same product.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of, I'm not going to name names, but there's definitely brands out there that I see what they charge and I know what it is to make stuff. And I just think, God, how do they get away with that, man? Because, you know, I mean, I've always tried to be super fair and, like, you know, doing the cost sheets and the pricing and stuff. When it comes out to is what it comes out to. I don't try to value engineer anything. Like, I want to make something really good quality and, like, go, hey, that's the best I can make it. And this is what, you know, if everybody's going to win and we're all going to make money and the customer's going to be happy, it's got to be priced at this and, you know, and then that's it, you know? And, but some of these guys, I see what they're charging and I know what it costs to make. And I go, man, that's gouging, you know, flat out gouging.
Oh,
just cause they think they have a sexy brand, you know, or whatever. So,
it's insane. You go into the superstore or someplace like that and you look at the racks and racks and you're saying, I mean, a shirt for $125, you know, like,
right. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm talking about.
I know you are. It's like, is there like gold in the stitching or something? Because yeah, it's just, right. You know, I don't know. I think that's part of the problem with the industry as well. You got these, money mongers in that, you know, want to try to hit the lightning in a bottle and espouse the virtues and then charge a super premium. Not even, you know, a premium price, super premium price.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's not really good for anybody, mm-hmm. but, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. All right, well, you're at Goat Hill Park, tending to the bees and taking care of business. We appreciate you coming on the show. As always, you're always welcome, but we'll definitely, you know, be talking a few more times as the year goes on. But greatly appreciate you making time, Ash. It's always good to have you on.
All right, buddy. Hey, great talking to you, and all the best, huh?
Yeah.
If you're ever out here, you better look me up.
Oh, yeah, I have to do that. I do. I owe Ash a trip. I do indeed. But we're just out of time. Get out there and practice your game. Special thanks to the OG, John Ashworth. Practice. Take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.